Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So, perfect love casts out all fear. God's perfect love toward you puts away, casts away all fear from your life. You don't have to see it. You just believe it and say, that's true. That's true. There's no fear in me because Jesus Christ has left me a promise. And when I enter that promise by believing that promise, I enter his rest. When I enter that promise which he's made, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That means he cannot leave us or forsake us. I don't care how it appears. It doth not yet appear. It doesn't yet appear that the kingdom of heaven is here, but it is. It's a promise. It's a promissory note, which means you have a note that says the promise will come later. It's not going to come right now. And right now, he is not King of Kings and Lord of Lords for the whole world. He's only for us. And we acknowledge him as our Lord, as our King. And the world doesn't see that. They don't pay attention to what we're talking about. The world to them is invisible. They don't even see that we're believers or anything. It's just by faith between us and God. But that faith has great power. And when you pray or when you act, it affects things. So that's how you test it out. You test it out by acting on the promise. He told you that all things, that means everything, works together for your good, for those that love the Lord. Everything works together for our good. What do you have to do? Nothing. What do you have to do? Nothing. Don't do a thing. This promise is from heaven. It's not from earth. He's not a man that he should repent and change his mind. This promise from God can never be rescinded, can never be taken away. You can never lose it. God be true. Every man, a liar. Man can lie to you. God cannot. It's possible for men to lie to you. And when they lie, they don't know whether they're telling the truth or not, but they're not. God is very clear about that. Unless they talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are many of us. As a matter of fact, there are so many of us on the earth today alive that they can't be counted. They cannot be counted. You cannot count them because it's an innumerable host. In other words, it's beyond numeration. So there could be not millions, but perhaps billions of people on earth. I know there's only 7.5 that are alive today, but nevertheless, there are more than that. So God has promised you these great promises, and he cannot lie. That's one thing. He would cease to be God if he ever lied to you. Everything you read in the book, everything that you read in this Bible is true. It's altogether true. And there's nothing that man has said to you that is true. It's only what God hath said. That's the truth. That's the truth. This is the truth for eternal life. This is not only that, but it's the truth for this world too. Because as a Christian, you already have peace with God. Even though he's coming back to be the Prince of Peace for the whole world, or for all of those that believe, for all the righteous ones, he's also brought us peace right now. And you have peace from God. Don't feel it, because it's not he who feels it. It's just he who believes in that. If you believe in that, you have eternal life. If you believe in that, you have eternal life. If you believe that everything is working for your good, that every promise that God has made is yours, he's blessed you with these promises, and I'm sad to say, sorry to say, that many of us do not read the Bible every day, or at least frequently, because all the promises are there. It's a promissory note. In fact, everything in the Bible is a promise. Even the law is disguised as a promise. It's got hidden in it all the promises of God. I could prove that, but I'll just say it. Even the law is not against you. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So everything in there that is for you to do, Jesus Christ has already done it. Not just on Calvary. That's just the confirmation. But he did it before the foundation of the world. So whatever he promised, he lived that life, and God, on the seventh day, which we're in right now, we're in the last time. This is the last time. This year will be up when this 1,000 years is over. Everything that he said is going to take place before time ends. Before time ends, you'll see every promise fulfilled. Before time is over. Before history comes to a close. So this is powerful to know that all his promises, they don't wait forever. They're during time. They're during time. And the last thing that's going to happen is that Jesus Christ will come back and his new Jerusalem church will come down from God above on the earth, and they will be the new heaven and the new earth. They will be, not just say by faith, but actually be that new heaven and that new earth that the world is expecting. But before that all happens, every promise in this Bible has to come true. All of it. So, now, I want to teach you in the second verse of chapter 4, Hebrews. For unto us was the gospel, good news, preached, as well as unto them. Now, the them is the Jewish people. They actually had the good news preached to them, but they read it as law. They read it as law. They turned it into not a promise. They turned it into a law which they had to fulfill. Have they ever fulfilled the law? Never. Never. Will they ever? Never. Never. Not possible. Just as the Tower of Babel was built and it was never finished, so also the Jewish religion was started, but it'll never finish. Not by law. Everything done by a law is never perfected because you didn't do it. Everything that's perfect, God does. God does it. So you do imperfect things, even as Christians. Even now you have sin in your life. Could I hear an amen? Even now, you have sin in your life. You doubt sometimes. You get angry sometimes. You are proud sometimes. You're depressed sometimes, and so on. So you have sins left. And his only job is to point those sins out, not to make you do them. Not to make you do them. They've already been done before the foundation of the world. Just enter his rest. How do you do that? Faith. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. That's why I'm preaching to you out of the Bible, out of the Word of God, because everything in here is true. Everything. Everything. Isn't it great to have a God who never lies? And that everything he said, you can rely upon. Because man isn't like that. So today, what I'm going to teach you as I read is he's making a division today, a dividing between soul and spirit. If you're of the soul, you will not go to heaven. If you're of the soul, soul is natural. It's just your natural life. Reason, morals, you being nice, attempting to be. All of that will not make it to heaven. None of that will make it to heaven. You being nice is a lie. Man in his best state, altogether vanity. Man in his best state,
I mean, when you really look like you're a pastor and you're a good Christian and monk and a nun and whatever, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. What Jesus did saves you. What you do does not. Because you're imperfect. If you were perfect, and now he's making you perfect, but he's not yet ready. But when he comes back, you will be ready. You will be like a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, no blemish, no stain, nothing, no sin. Why? Because this morning as we took communion, which is communing with the Lord, which is not just communing with one another, it's also communing with the Lord. He said, this is my body. So we're partaking of his body. And this is my blood. And you're partaking of that too. So he's shared that with you so that when he died, you died. That when he rose, you rose. That when he's coming back, it'll be for you. Not to punish you in any way. There'll be no punishment for you. But to bless you. And you'll receive your crowns, you'll receive everything that the bride was to receive in heaven. And you, in fact, the reason he's coming back is to snatch you away from this world, which he hasn't yet judged. He has not judged this world fully. But the reason he's coming back is to invite you to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which you already have your invitation. So by faith, you're already going. Say it, I'm going.
I'm going.
You're going to heaven. Not because of anything you did, something he did for you. Now he's doing it in you, and yet he will do it through you so that when he comes back, you'll be perfect. So he forgave you all your sins. Now he's cleansing you from all sin. And at the moment he comes back, you'll be perfect. You'll have the strength. You'll have the new soul, your new body, to match up with your new heart. You do have a new heart right now, by faith. You don't have to see it. You just believe it. As a matter of fact, you can't see it. Because secret things belong to God, and he hasn't revealed all secret things to you yet. But at that time, you'll see everything that he's promised. Everything that he's promised. When he comes back, it'll be over. For us. For the world, no. For the world, they will go through all kinds of troubles. First of all, the world will punish Israel for only being under the law and not meeting it with faith. That's the first thing they'll do. Punish Israel. Why? Because Israel has remained under a yoke of bondage. They're trying to please God with their own strength. They're trying to please God with their moral, I made a good effort. That doesn't count. You're making a good effort. It doesn't count with God. The only thing that counts is the blood of Jesus. We just drank the blood. The only thing that counts is he laid his life down for you. That you cannot do. He did that for you. So he forgives you for all your sins. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. In time and space down here, we think there's still time, which there is. But in heaven, when God makes a promise, it's already over. In heaven, there's no time or space. They don't have time in heaven. There won't be a big Ben up there, big, clock up there. It won't be digitalized or analog or anything. It'll just be time. But time will be over when Jesus returns. A few years will be left then, because he has to have us come to heaven. One of the things that you'll do when you come back is go to heaven. You'll immediately go to heaven. Immediately. No delay, no anything. Because he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And you'll be ready. And so will some Jewish people, the ones that went through the Great Tribulation but escaped it. They're called the sons of Levi. He'll be purifying the sons of Levi. Same time he's judging faithless Israel for not having any faith, he'll be judging faithful Israel because by faith they believe in the coming Messiah. And when he comes back the second time, they'll recognize him. And every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. And he'll come with such majesty and such power, not like a lamb that was slain. That's already happened. But he'll come like a lion of Judah with all power. And he's coming for vengeance on those Jewish people that did not repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord and their bridegroom. But some will escape that. As a matter of fact, quite a large number. And they'll be the sons of Levi that have been purified. So those Jewish people will go to heaven just as we do. So when he comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those that are with him, Old Testament saints and so on and so forth, they'll be part of his army. He'll come back. And this time he doesn't lose. He wins over the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan himself. He wins over all of them because he has come now to finish forever the wicked rule on the earth. He came actually to end the time of the Gentiles. The Gentiles will no longer be ruling. Right now we do. But there'll come a day and a time when only the righteous will survive and none of the others. So this is an exciting time for us. Unto us the gospel is preached, verse 2, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, verse 3, which have believed, do enter into his rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they, not us, shall enter into my rest, and some will, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's when he accomplished everything. For again, he speaks in a certain place, on the seventh day of this wise, and God did rest from, on the seventh day, from all his works. So your works are not part of those works. Your works amount to nothing. Man in his best state, nothing. All your righteousness, filthy rag. So all of that speaks to Jew and Gentile behavior. Behavioral modification, which is the basis of all education today, is worthless. We should be teaching them truth. We should be teaching them all about reading and writing and arithmetic and facts and things that count in this world. But instead, the system today is only teaching them to behave and not to break with your group. And it's completely opposite to the Bible. So what they're doing is brainwashing them. How do you feel? What do you think? What do you want? Well, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. Because what they want is their own happiness, their own joy, and they're trying to get it without God. They're not taught to pray, which is fine. But here we do. We teach you to pray. When you need something, you pray to God. Because he's the only one that answers prayers. No other God answers any prayers. No other God. So all the other gods of the world are just idols. They're nothing. They don't exist. They're just made up names by people. For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day, and God did rest from his labors, and he did all of his works. From all of his works, they're already done. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, us. This is how we entered in. And they to whom it was first preached, the Jewish people, entered not in because of unbelief. That's their only sin. They didn't believe that what Jesus said was the truth. And so they killed him. He was about to be inaugurated king, but they prevented that. And so now He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and all that's left now is to thank Him for doing that. To thank Him for doing that. So our worship is basically thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Because He's not only, and I thank Him for what He's done on the cross. He brought peace with God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. So God has always been after you and anybody that would hear Him to be a believer, to just believe that God is good and that the best has been saved to the last. You haven't even seen the best. You have not seen the best. The best, I would say 99% of His promises haven't yet happened. I'd easily say that. So the things that have happened are not yet the best. He has saved the best to the last. So you have never been to heaven. You have never even seen the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven ruling over the earth. But you'll see all of that. And you'll see that the bad guys are all in the lake of fire. And the beast and the false prophet are in the same lake. And all of the demons are in that lake. And the only one that's left in that whole crew was Satan himself. And he's in a big bottomless pit. And he'll come out at the last minute, just before time ends. He'll come out to try to tempt us. But not only will we not be afraid of him, because of our holiness, he'll leave disappointed because he could not do anything with the saints of God because we're holy, just like Jesus. We'll be perfect, just like Jesus. And he'll see that not by faith, but in fact, you'll actually be perfect. Amen. And so because that's the case, he has no power. He only has power over the wicked. He has no power over the righteous. So he leaves and he's immediately tossed into the lake of fire. So now everyone's in the lake of fire. Then there'll be the great white throne judgment. And at that great white throne, everyone will be raised from the dead, some to damnation, some to eternal life. We're already having eternal life now by faith. You don't yet see it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he appeareth, that hasn't happened yet. It's still going to happen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he actually is. Merciful, powerful, holy. And then he who thus purifies himself as he is pure. We'll be pure like he. Because our whole life is God. That God loves you. And we hated him for without any cause. But now we don't. We actually love him by faith. But someday you'll actually love him in fact. And he'll see you face to face. You will see his face. Spiritual. All right. Now it goes on. For if Jesus gave them rest, that word is a Hebrew word, Yeshua or Joshua, in the Old Testament. For if that Joshua, the Jewish Joshua, had given them rest, and they never did find it, they're still not at rest today, he would not then afterward have spoken of another day. Because there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's Jesus he's talking about. For he that has entered into his rest, that second rest, he also has ceased from his own works. So none of the works that you've done will count. So just cease them. That's what he's doing right now. And God did from him. So God did all of that from his own works. Let us therefore strive, therefore, to enter into that rest. Is that something you do? No. You're entering into his rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Last verse that I'm going to read. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper. The word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So there is a sword in your hands. You don't know this, but there's a sword in your hands. And it's able to defeat not only this world, but also the false churches. It's able to defeat both enemies at once because it has two edges. So your two-edged sword is totally able to give you victory over the natural world, the kings of this earth, and over the so-called religious world, which is all just soul. It's just soul. It's just man at his best state. It's nothing. The lukewarm church is just like the yoke of bondage that the Jewish people have on them, that the Catholics have on them, that everybody has on them, because they're trying their best to be good. You cannot be good. Only God is good. Only God is good. I'm telling you, don't rely on anybody else. Put not your trust in any man or in any prince. Put your trust in the Lord or in any pastor. Don't put your trust in anyone except Jesus Christ. Why? He's the only one that loves you. He's the only one that's on your side. He seeks you out. I mean, he's not just waiting for you. He came to you. He sent his son to you to finish what Abraham started, what Isaac started, what everyone started. He came to finish everything off, and he's coming back a second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to snatch his bride away and take us to heaven. You'll never return. Amen. You're not going to return. And when you do return, because you will, you don't return as you are. You return as the new heaven and the new earth. And you are the new heaven and the new earth in which God dwells. You're his temple. You will be his temple. He's our temple, but you will also see that you're his temple. We live in the same temple. This is the city that God is building. It's perfect. And everything for you, I don't care about this world. In this world, you see sad things. You see depressing things. You see hard things in yourself as well as in others. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. God trumps all of that. No judgment will ever come on you. So you can have, from this day forward, unutterable joy. You can't even utter it. It's so unbelievable. For example, you don't have your new body yet. Your new body will ride on a cloud. Just as you saw Jesus go, he'll come back again on a cloud. And then you'll have a cloud. And that's the first time you'll have a cloud that you can ride upon. How many of you have ridden on a cloud before? Nobody. Nobody has ever ridden on a cloud before. But I hope someone doesn't have a faster cloud than I have. Because I don't want them to beat me to Dallas. I don't want them to beat me. Because I sometimes, if I see someone speeding in the way behind me, because I always see 2 miles behind, 2 miles ahead, I'm well aware of the traffic, I move over to block them. That's awful, isn't it? That's a sin of mine. I'm sure that God will forgive that sin. That is a sin of mine. I don't like them to beat me to Dallas or back to Fort Worth. Sorry. But anyway, I hope they don't have a faster cloud than I have. So God has a sense of humor. He said many funny things. You don't know that about Jesus, but he did. At one time, they had a cloth. A person had a cloth, and he had a rip in it. And then he said, if you sew a new patch on that, and then when it rains, it'll shrink and tear the whole thing. That's funny. Or another time he said, they swallow camels while straining out gnats. That's funny. That's funny. He's funny. In other words, did you know God has joy, unspeakable, full of glory? He's pleased with us that we meet here today without any agenda except to know him, to hear him, to thank him, to praise him, to adore him, to worship him. That's all he wants. Until he comes back again, you won't really see that you love your neighbor as yourself, even though you do. I mean, he notices what you're doing. That's why you'll be ready when he comes back. But we're premillennial. We're doing this before the millennium, before the tribulation. We're already doing it now. We already love our neighbor as ourselves. But you do it by faith. You don't actually get to see it. But when he comes back, you'll see it. So then he comes back as King of Kings, and you'll also be priest-king. You'll have your priestly role, worship, and you'll have your kingly role, rule. You'll be sitting on a throne, just like God. And whatever God does, you does. Whatever God says, you says. So it's easy for you because the commandments of God are not difficult. All you have to do is watch Jesus. Keep your eye on Jesus. Never take your eye off Jesus. Because whom have we in heaven but thee, and there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. Okay, so this two-edged sword both frees us from the world and frees us from false religion. Both are idols. Frees us from both idols. So your idolatry is put not your trust in princes, put not your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. But what does this sword do? A sword is not just to cut us off from those two fellows, but it's also to divide between soul and spirit. No one in this world today divides between those two things, except this sword that's in our hands. This sword that's in your hand divides between not soul and body. Everyone here is worried about their body. It's wearing out. You've abused it or whatever. It doesn't matter. This body only lasts until you're dead. I don't know if you've noticed that. As long as you're alive, you got your body. So thank God for your body. There's nothing wrong with the body. It's just that that body won't make it to heaven until you're spiritually born again, and then you're spiritually filled with the Spirit every day, and then you're spiritually led of the Spirit. So you're born to die, to rise again. You're born to die, to rise again. So whenever you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already in heaven. And you have to divide between soul and spirit. No soul, that is the natural person, no person will go to heaven. You'll be the only ones. So will it be us? Well, it's a numberless host. So I don't know how many it'll be, but it'll be plenty to fill up his house. And he has a huge, huge, huge house. It goes 1,500 miles up in the air. 1,500 miles wide. That's almost from the Mississippi to the Atlantic Ocean or to the Pacific Ocean. In other words, somewhere in the middle. It's about 3,000 miles across the United States. So it's half of the United States. But airplanes only fly, let's say, 6 miles, maybe seven. And some jet fighters fly higher than that. I think you're probably building some like that. But whatever. But none of them reach heaven. None of them, anything of man won't reach heaven. So he has to make you into a new man. And so anyone that's born again is a new man. So you're a new creation. Not like you're not Jewish or not Gentile. You're now a new creation. So whether you're Jewish, you'll be a new creation. Whether you're Gentile, you'll be a new creation. So everybody in Christ will be a new creation. And as many as we can win by prayer, by our lives, by whatever we say and do, that's how many will be there. Because when men see your good works, which Jesus did, you get credit for it. And they will worship your God in heaven, your God, your Father, which art in heaven, that one. So that we're able to now to do righteous things, but you didn't do them. Jesus did them. Because you have a relationship with Jesus. Because he's the one that sought you out and said, "Will you marry me?" He's the one that said, "I came to earth only to find my bride." Then they killed him before he was king. So now he's coming back to be king, but he'll come back for his bride first. Because you are the most important thing in the whole world, the righteous ones, whether Jew or Gentile. You're part of the new creation. So when he comes back, the first thing he'll do is say, if any man hears my voice, I'll knock on the door, and opens the door, I'll come in and invite him to the supper. That was a lukewarm church. Today, the church is mostly everywhere you go. Christians are mostly just in the flesh. That is, they're soulish. They're soulish. And their worship is soulish. Because they worship Jesus, but they also worship this world. They love this world. I don't. I don't have any stake in this world. Nothing. When I leave, I'm not going to take any of it with me. When I depart someday, and I may not. I may be alive when he comes back. You don't know when he's going to come back. As a matter of fact, he's going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know when the thief comes, because there's a big long night. So will he come at midnight? Will he come? At what time? 2 o'clock? 4 o'clock? Well, he can't wait till it gets light. Like the dawn is coming. He can't wait that long. So he's only got that amount of time. But like a thief in the night, if you knew when he was coming, you'd be prepared for him. So we are the ones that are prepared for him. Why? Because we're already believers. And we're already having Christ cleanse us from all sin. What is it? Soul. You see, the one that commits all the sin in your life is you. No, it's not the devil, it's demons. You do it. So any sins, you did it. Well, he's not mad at that. He already forgave all your sins. So every sin you can think of, he's already forgiven it. So you don't have any sins that he has to forgive. There's therefore now no condemnation for them that were in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set you free from the law of sin and death. So you're in good shape. If long as you heard Jesus and you believed that he can't lie, yeah, that he has his reward with him when he comes back again the second time, that reward is eternal life. That reward is fellowship with him forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. It'll never end. So we're looking forward to not just forgiveness, being born again. We're looking forward to him cleansing us from all sin. That's what he's doing today. That's what that sword is for. That sword is not only to flee the doodle idols that I pointed out, this world and also other religions. You're free from all those. So you don't have to buy their lies. But you're free to now say, I want to use this sword on myself to divide myself so that I don't have any soulishness in me, because souls won't make it to heaven. No soul will make it to heaven unless you're born again like we are. You're born again by reading the Bible. That's how you get born again. You just read the Bible. And I'm sad to say many Christians don't read the Bible. I wish you all read the Bible every day. Or if not every day, at least every week, or at least if once a year, or I don't know what. I'm just saying, you will never understand what I'm talking about until you read the Bible. Because it's all in there. And it's mysterious if you try to read it and understand it on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit, who wrote it, teach you how to read it. And that's what I do every Sunday. That's what David does every Sunday. That's what Danny does. That's what Jeff does. That's what so on. In other words, there are many people that can be teachers, which they know the Word of God and know that you need this Word of God to live by, because we live by every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds constantly, continually, day by day, out of his mouth. He's still speaking. Jesus said, my Father worketh still, and I work. Well, he's still working. What is Jesus doing right now? Pointing out your soulishness, pointing out your idols, pointing out your love of this world, pointing out anything in you that would have dominion over you so that it doesn't have dominion over you. He forgave you your sin, but then he left them. Now he's removing those sins so that they don't control your life. And until he comes back, you will still sin. But you need to gain mastery over it. I just told a lie. Father, forgive me. I don't want to lie. So help me. If there be any wicked way in me, get rid of it. I don't want any unforgiveness in me or any fear in me, any envy in me, any doubt in me, any self-pity in me, any pride in me, any anger. I don't want anything in me except your word, your truth that'll set me free. Truth sets you free. Who is the truth? Jesus. He's the truth. Everything about Jesus, you'll be just like Jesus. When he perfects you, you'll be like Jesus. You'll be just like Jesus. It's amazing. You won't be God because you don't have life in yourself like he did. But you have him who has life in himself in you. So you can't die. You can die biologically, but you can't die spiritually. So we'll never experience the second death. Now, what I'm saying to you is news to you, but it shouldn't be. You have to read the Bible. I can't do it on Sunday morning. I can't read the whole Bible. I can't even read it on my own. It's a big one. It's got a lot of words in it. But those words are your life. So I read them all the time. I'm a pastor, so I have to. I have to. If I weren't a pastor, maybe I wouldn't, David. But I'm a pastor, so I have to. Do you read it every day?
Most every day.
Yeah, that's good. That was an honest answer. So it isn't literally that you do it. It's just that you meditate on it night and day. Why? Because that word is your life. Get right with God. Forget everything else. Forget having money in the bank or your health or, you know, your relationships that you're in. Let them all fall apart. I'm not saying let them. I'm just simply saying they don't count. What counts is that you know Jesus loves you. This you know. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. So Jesus as Son of God is in heaven, and Jesus as Son of Man is on earth. That's all you have is Jesus. Period. And God was in Christ. He's still in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. He's bringing as many as he can. How many people does God hate? None. Not one. He doesn't hate anybody. Did you know that God does not desire the death of any sinner? Now, there are people sinning all over the place, and even you contribute to that. So, keep your marriage. If you're on your 15th, keep it. If you're on your 18th, I don't care how many marriages you've had and how many failures you've had. Just stop at one time and grow up. Get rid of all the sin. That's the only issue. Has God forgiven all our sins? Yes. Are many Jewish people having faith? They probably. Are many Christians? Probably. But I can't say, because only God knows the heart, knows your inner man. He's the one that judges, so it's none of my business. I don't care what people do and say. It's just that you need to do that, because all the people see is your behavior. They don't hear your heart. God, that's a secret with God. Only God can judge the heart. Only God knows the heart. You cannot know it. You can search the Bible over and over again and tell you where it is, but not exactly where. It's this womb inside of you. It's this innermost place that you deeply dwell. It's your bowels of mercy. It's deep inside of you. But that womb is only able to make you guilty because you have not followed your conscience. You have not followed reason. People that are reasonable always end up in irrationality. People that are nice always end up doing not nice things. People that, you know, are moral always end up being immoral. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Forget what you think. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody. There is no such thing as a pastor is better than a housewife that's washing dishes or yelling at her husband. There's no difference. Jesus loves everybody equally. He loves everybody. Even all the bad people you can think of that are demonic and no good, he loves them. That's why I prayed for Hillary, because I thought she's going to be president. I started praying for her. openly. But I prayed for her because he said, bless your enemies. Pray for them. Don't wish bad on them. Don't think you're better. And her husband and whatever. So I prayed for the whole family and whatever that family is. Those naughty, naughty people. No, don't do that. Pray in faith. You don't have to feel it. Just do it. Just do what he said. Do what he said. Do it by faith. So you don't have to feel it. No, as a matter of fact, when you start praying for people, you begin to love them. And you'll have dreams about them. I've dreamt about meeting Clinton many times. I really have, because I prayed for him when he was president. And Bush and so on and so forth. So I'm not mad at anybody. I don't wake up in the morning and thinking, who should I be mad at today? I don't wake that way. David, you don't do that, do you? You don't wake up thinking, what bad thing can you do today? No. Because we're pastors and we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Because you're pastor? Don't you do that? Otherwise, you'd have to be replaced if you don't do that. You have at least to do that as a pastor. So pray for everybody. Why? Because there's a blessing in it for you. It isn't that he loves you less or more. He's always loved you and he always will. It's just that it's for you. It's a blessing to you to pray for your enemies. Why? Because you're no better than they are. I wish you were. You're not. You're just the same as they are. But you need to pray because even one sin will keep you out of heaven. Did you know that? Even one. One spot. One spot. One little spot. You know, as soon as you have a spot on your dress, the bridegroom can come and say, you have a spot in that spot. I can't marry you. You don't have the right clothing on. So what God wants you to know is this is good news. Separate your soul from your spirit. Your soul will not make it to heaven. Only your spirit. And you are a spiritual person. You are born of the Spirit. You're being filled with the Spirit every day. Every day. Every day. And you're being led of the Spirit. If you're not dead, you're not led. So chair 5 is important for chair 6. You can't be resurrected unless you're dead. So you have to be died. So in chair 5, you die. You're forgiven in chair 4. You're cleansed in chair 5. You're perfected in chair 6. So all of that is God cleaning you up so that you don't have any sin. And when you come to heaven, you'll be perfect. Actually, really. Why? Only one reason. You got your eyes on Jesus. If you have any other love, even yourself, you won't be there. If you're married, some of you are married. If you're married, you have to love your spouse exactly as you love yourself. Did you hear what I said? You have to love them. So you just say it by faith. Okay, I do. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want to do it. Just do it. That's the new creation. God counts that. He counts that because you didn't add anything to it. You just simply said what he said to say. You can do it with enemies. You can do it with friends. You can do it with everybody. And that's the end of the law. The end of the law is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you do those two things, you've satisfied God. When did you ever do those two things? Never. Who did them for you? Jesus. When? Before the foundation of the world. When he finished all his works. 6 days, he finished all his works. On the seventh day, rest. You already have that rest. When you believed in Jesus, you have that rest. So now, the rest is, don't do a lick of work. Come unto me, all you that labor, all you that are heavy burdened, all you that have problems and troubles, just come to me. I'll give you rest. Now, from that moment on, you can't be depressed. Even though I bet there's one or two here that have been depressed in the past. Maybe three. Yeah, maybe three. Stop it. Because Jesus Christ has already settled that. He's already at peace with you, and you can be at peace with him just by believing that Jesus Christ didn't lie. He told the truth. He told you everything about the future, and it's all bright. Everything is bright. Everything is happy. Everything is peaceful. Everything. So he has in mind for you, and if you do that, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, which nobody has done. But if you do that by faith, if you do that by faith, you already have it. You already have it. That'll make you happy. Nothing else will make you happy except worshiping God with all your heart and soul and strength and loving your neighbor as yourself. Nothing. There is no happiness in this world. None, none, none. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. You see, happiness is a byproduct. It's not something you can strive for. Everyone that wants it doesn't get it. Everyone that doesn't want it, but you just seek him, you get it. If you seek him, he freely gives you all things. So whatever it is you want, and what you want is God without knowing it. What you want is God. That's all there is. Lose everything here, you've lost nothing. God is what you want. And God sought you out. He didn't seek you out when you weren't a sinner. He sought you out in the midst of your sins. And he sought you out and said, I love you. I want to marry you. What? I don't deserve it. You will never deserve it. I'm just doing it because my love and my word to you is truth. Well, how can you do it? I'll send Jesus down. It will? How do you do that? Because I promised that to Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 8. My son, God himself will provide the burnt offering for a sacrifice. God himself will provide that. And who did he send? His son, Jesus, who was son of God. Now he became son of man. He's the greatest thing in heaven and earth. You seek him because he first sought you. We love because he first loved us. You love because now we can love. We can actually love right now by faith. Don't have to see it. You're not going to see it until Jesus comes back again. Then you'll see it. Don't wait to see it. Just already rejoice now. Already laugh now. Already be happy now. Why? Because it doesn't look like it. When it doesn't look like it, that's faith. When it looks like it, it's not. As soon as he comes back, it won't be faith. Faith and hope go. They're not there anymore. You only have love. Love endures forever because God is love. So you're a lover right now. Say it. I love God. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and I love my neighbor, whichever they may be, as myself. You're a Christian. How did you do it? By faith. You don't have to see it, but someday you will. Because you'll see him as he is. And when you see him as he is, really, you'll realize right away, wow, sin is foolish. It's foolish not to believe in God. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of Man. This is all that I've ever sought for. Once you meet Jesus, this is my personal experience. Once I met Jesus, I put away all the sin. I don't need it anymore. Because if Jesus loves me, I don't need to love myself. He's taking care of me. I don't need to love myself. Jesus is smarter than I am. He's stronger than I am. He's more loving. He's everything. He knows everything. I don't even know anything. But Jesus taking care of me has worked out good for me. Amen? How many know that what I'm saying is the truth? It'll set you free. I mean, don't try to have a rhema on this or get a, you know, inside poop on it. You can't. That was probably the wrong thing to say right there. I probably should not have said that. I'll probably miss out on the cloud that goes fast. Oh, Lord. Oh. How many know this is good news?
Amen.
It's good news. Why? Did I make it up? No, I didn't make it up. I just read the Bible. I just copied everything out of the Bible. So I'm not smart at all. I'm foolish. But I traded that in for rest. I traded that in for truth. I traded that in for joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I have all of that. Why? Because Jesus is in me. He first loved me before I loved him. Now I'm loving my neighbor as myself, which I couldn't do until he came back. When he comes back this second time, he will be the King of Kings and every knee will bow. Every. I mean, even those that hated him, they will say, wow, he is. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Even you say that won't happen. You're wrong. It will happen. Every knee will bow and everyone will say, well, that's God. I didn't even think there was a Jesus. Wow, he is Lord. He's the only one with power. And when he comes back in the glory of his Father, you will be amazed. And people will shrink back, but we'll be clouding it up. We'll be right up in cloud. Hey, where are you going? Come on back, Jesus likes you. Not mad at you. He doesn't hate any sinner. Never has, never will, never. Even if you go to hell, you go on your own. You don't go because he sent you there. It's that he knows by foreknowledge. This one will not believe. He knows everything. He already knows everything you're thinking, saying, and doing right now. He knows everything about you. He has not come to judge the world. He's come to forgive everyone. So mercy triumphs, exalts itself. It doesn't really say triumph, but it is a triumph. It really says that mercy, that is the equity of God, the equalness of God, it's equal to what he intended when he first created you. He wanted stewards on earth that would account to him voluntarily, freely, lovingly. Now he has that. You're that. You're that. It's by faith. You don't have to see it. You just believe it. That's what he counts as righteous. So everyone here is happy. Amen. You can be happy right now. Just say it. Just say it with your mouth. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. Just say it. I am happy from this point on. Why? Because God has everything arranged for you. There's no surprises with God. There's nothing that can happen. This world will not end with tragedy. It will actually end with the kingdom of God on earth. It's not going to end with tragedy. It's not going to end with somebody poisoning the waters or, you know, what's the hydrogen bomb or whatever that guy's producing. It won't end that way. It's not. Not even possible. God has already spoken in the Word. You should not be afraid of anything that man does. Don't worry. He's limited. He's like one of those dogs on that choker chain. Just be, that's my boy Jesus, Jim. That's my boy Jim. Don't bite him. So Jesus is protecting you. So how can things go wrong? Amen. I know you don't believe that, but believe it. It's truth. Nothing can happen to you. Once God says, that's my beloved, and he says that about everybody, then he loves you. And he can't be stayed from what he did. No one has ever prevented him from doing anything he wants to do at any time. So he reserved to himself this right. I have the right to forgive any sinner anytime I want. I can show mercy to anybody, chesed in Hebrew, or I can show chanan, which is his grace or his favor. He can show anyone favor, and you don't have anything to do with that. You don't even know how that comes. Now, a sin, he can forgive. But this is just favor, just comes to me, and it shouldn't. Why that happen? God just loves you. He's wanted to give you that gift. Well, I don't deserve that. You don't need to. It's yours because he loves you. And you don't know how it came. How many are here big at the grace of God? Amen. Well, the word grace is the same word kara in Greek language, and it's chanan in Hebrew language. So you have the grace of God that brought you into the world. Now you have the grace of God that's loving you and forgiving you, making God speak it to you and have, you know, the Holy Spirit sent and all this. He's doing all of that because he's just favoring you. You didn't ask for it. You don't even know you deserve it. He just wants to do it. But if you have any sins, he'll forgive them. He's already forgiven them. So every day he shows you a sin, Thank you, Jesus. That's forgiven. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say poop. I said it two times. I didn't mean to say it the second time. I'm not going to say it two times. But you know what? God loves you. He has a sense of humor. If he doesn't have a sense of humor, you wouldn't be here. He actually loves you with a perfect love. Amen. You've never met anyone like Jesus.
No.
It's perfect. All right. Who has a testimony? Just make it up. Just make it up. Something good. Give a good report. Yes, David.
Just agreeing with what you're saying about law being good. You're seeing that Jesus was rebuking the disciples, or not the disciples, rebuking the Pharisees this time. And I was seeing this week that he said you should have paid attention to the weightier matters of the law. And then he included judgment, mercy, righteousness.
Exactly.
Mercy
is the law. As a matter of fact, it's the only law. The other one doesn't even count. It's just if you're under the law, you believe that. But we're not under the law. We're under grace.
Yeah.